You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 6th of June 2022 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, we have more news to get into today about how Prevent has been concentrating on far-right extremism at the expense of concentrating on Islamic extremism, which is a much greater threat. And it's quite surprising the person that is now talking about this, Dame Sarah Khan, who listeners have probably heard us speak about before, because she was the one that was calling for a new category in law of hateful extremism, which would have meant that the government could go after people that were actually staying within the law in what they were talking about. But if the government didn't like it, then they could say that it was hateful extremism. It was basically a way of saying, well, if somebody is sticking within the speed limit of 30 miles an hour and then they are driving along at 29 miles an hour, we can still go after them and say that they're breaking the speed limit because we don't like what they're doing. And she was basically saying this about Patriotic Alternative. And I think it's because she doesn't actually understand what Patriotic Alternative are about. She was looking at reports that have been produced by our opponents, such as Hope Not Hate, and relying upon them and upon newspaper reports, which are, of course, biased, instead of actually looking at Patriotic Alternative's own literature and what Patriotic Alternative talk about. Because I think if you want to dissuade people from going along the accelerationist terrorist route, then you need to have legitimate mainstream nationalist people that are talking out about things. You need to have nationalist organizations that are not going to be constantly attacked by the press. We do have legitimate concerns as the Indigenous British people. We have legitimate concerns the same as any other people group has concerns, and they want the government to be doing things to look out for them. And we don't have any organizations that are doing that, because any organization that does, it just gets smeared in the press. And then the government and the civil service, they rely upon what the press say, and they rely upon what Hope Not Hate say, instead of actually looking at what the groups themselves have to say. Groups such as Patriotic Alternative, all of their literature is very carefully produced to stick within the law, and it's basically an expression of our democratic rights. It is our democratic right to organize and to advocate for our people. And yet we have people that are trying to shut us down. So it's quite surprising that the person that is actually speaking about this in regards with the Prevent program is this Dame Sarah Khan herself. Political correctness and fear of accusations of racism at the local level is preventing Islamic extremism from being reported, a British government advisor has admitted. So she's saying that it's political correctness in itself which is preventing people, preventing the Prevent organization from investigating Islamic extremism. Yet it's political correctness as well, which is preventing groups like Patriotic Alternative from getting fair press, and preventing Patriotic Alternative from being able to form a legitimate political party. Because, of course, each time PA put forward their constitution, the Electoral Commission refuses it and sends it back based upon ideological grounds and politically correct grounds. They say that this wouldn't this wouldn't interest these other people groups in society. But of course, you had Black Lives Matter that set up their political organization, which was just openly advocating for black people at the expense of others. Patriotic Alternative are not advocating for white people at the expense of others. The programs that they wish to put in place would obviously be of benefit to these other people groups if they wanted to be with their own people, if they wanted to get grants in order to go back to their ancestral homelands and build up businesses there. So it's quite clearly that that would be of benefit to them. And yet the black political party that was set up as part of Black Lives Matter, that was all about getting reparations for slavery and replacing white people with black people in posts and prosecuting people and putting them on a record for microaggressions. PA do not seek to censor anybody's speech or to build lists of people that say things that are anti-white, say. It is... PA looks at what is going to be the most equitable way to find a solution to the sort of problems that we face in multiculturalism. And this is one of the problems that we have, is political correctness. Because people are terrified of being accused of being Islamophobic or transphobic, we can't discuss the problems that these people groups themselves have, for fear of being accused of all these names, basically. And it can go so far as to people to be prosecuted for the sort of things that they talk about, for having different opinions. As has been the case with the scourges of grooming, rape gangs and modern-day slavery, Islamic extremism is being pushed under the rug by local councils in the UK. Out of concern of being branded as racist, the government's independent advisor for social cohesion, Dame Sarah Khan, has said. And this is what the report is saying as well. It's saying that the councils are fearful of being accused of being Islamophobic, but they're not fearful of people saying, well, you're going after the right wing here. They're quite happy for people to say, well, you're going after people on the right. So they're basically just reporting youngsters that support UKIP or youngsters that support Britain First or PA, and they're reporting them instead. And of course, Patriotic Alternative are not terrorists. And yet you do have groups like Islamic State and certain interpretations of Islam, which are encouraging of terrorism. And the people that follow them are getting a free pass because these councils do not want to be seen as being Islamophobic. And of course, this harms the Islamic community just as much as it harms everybody else, because they don't want members of their community to be found guilty of terrorist acts because it looks bad on their community. So they want this to be nipped in the bud as soon as possible as well. They don't want terrorists amongst their community. Prevent the government's anti-extremism program, Khan said, is being hampered by local authorities bending to political correctness. And again, this is so strange because it she was the one that was saying that the right wing is this terrible threat, and we need to have this new definition of hateful extremism in order to go after people that aren't actually breaking the law. And she is one of the people that promotes this political correctness, and yet now she's drawing attention to it in the same way that we would, that because of political correctness, we're not able to talk about some of the negative aspects that come with Islam. She says they felt that somehow they were going to be offending Muslims. Somehow it was being racist and Islamophobic. And she was talking to the BBC's Political Thinking podcast. She says, I thought you're not doing a service to Muslims in this country if you think that. Not talking about the threat of Islamic extremism is totally unacceptable. It's her government, it's the government that have taken her on as an advisor, that have said that hate speech is completely unacceptable. And if you're going to have different definitions of speech and claim that people are inciting hate if they talk negatively about a religion or a race or a sexuality, then you're going to have people that are too frightened to speak about it, and that is what political correctness is. So she encourages political correctness, and yet at the same time she is saying here that it's effectively prevented people from stopping Islamic terrorism. She says, you're actually discriminating against Muslims because you're more concerned about political correctness and the fear of being labelled racist than you are with actually helping Muslims. And that is a good point. I mean, it's the same thing when we talk about stop and search and we say, well, stop and search prevents crime. And yet the government will say, well, we can't have stop and search because more black people get stopped and searched than white people. So clearly it's a racist policy. And yet, if you talk to the black mothers, they say, well, we would rather have this policy because when we have this policy, it takes the knives off the streets and we don't care about you being accused of being racist. We just want our children to stay alive. So it's the same thing here. This is what she's pointing out here, is that if people are concerned about political correctness, then they're not going to go after Muslims that do have extremist aims, and because of that, some of them are going to slip through the net and they might very well carry out Islamic terrorism. And as we see, Islamic terrorism doesn't just happen in European countries, it also happens in Islamic countries. They also end up killing other Muslims, so it's just as much of a threat to them as it is to us. I mean, really, we have to be able to talk about these subjects. We shouldn't talk about them in a way that encourages violence against anyone, but we should certainly be able to talk about the negative aspects that multiculturalism brings with a view to changing government policy. The Prevent programme, which seeks to stop the radicalisation of would-be extremists in Britain, has previously been accused of placing a disproportionate emphasis on the far right rather than on the threat posed by radical Islamists. And again, it's this Sarah Khan that has encouraged that with the report that she did into the so-called far right. So she's actually been encouraging Prevent to concentrate on the far right. But now that it turns out that in actual fact that the threat is far more from the Islamists, she is concerned about this. This is why I say I think she has just been swayed by the material that our opponents put out there. I think she's looked at what the journalists have said. She's looked at what Hope Not Hate have said. And that's where she's formed her views on what Patriotic Alternative actually are. I mean, there was this documentary that was done on PA the other day, and they had Dame Sarah Khan on as an interviewee. And it was very clear there that she had this biased view of PA. And yet it's because of that biased view that all this concentration has been put on the far right, and that's why radical Islamists have been able to slip through the net. So she is encouraging this political correctness in that PA documentary, and yet here she is pointing out that political correctness has resulted in Islamic terror being able to take place. Despite Islamic extremists accounting for 90% of those on the security service watch lists, the number of far-right suspects referred to Prevent, which is 22%, nearly matched the number of Islamists referred to the programme, 24%, according to a report from the Henry Jackson Society last year. So practically all the people that are actually at risk of carrying out terrorism are Islamic extremists, and yet half the number of people referred to Prevent are from the right wing. I mean, clearly Prevent is being used to censor and silence people that are on the right, that have an opposing view to the government. I mean, it's basically just the opposition. It is the silencing of the opposition. It's the same as in the Soviet countries. If anybody was against communism, they would be censored and they would be jailed, and the full force of the state would be used against them. We're told we live in free countries here in the West. Yet if you are part of the opposition, then you have legal restrictions on what you can say and what you can do. And I believe these legal restrictions are misused. I think they were genuinely put in place to try and stop violence against minorities. But today, they get used to silence the opposition. Khan said that in her previous role as the government's first counter-extremism commissioner, she would often meet with local councillors who were very comfortable focusing on the far right, while at the same time pushing back against the Islamist threat in the area and how it is radicalizing Muslims, they just could not talk about it. And this is a similar thing to her. I mean, at least she's now talking about this, but what she is famous for is going after the so-called far right and speaking on the Patriotic Alternative hit job documentary. So you could say that it appears that she was far more comfortable about focusing on the far right than she was about talking about Islamic extremism. And it was her advice that resulted in Prevent going after the so-called far right. And also we had Neil Basu, the chief of counter-terrorism police. He was saying that the far right are the biggest growing threat in Britain, when, of course, 90% of these attacks have been carried out by Islamic extremists. She went on to argue that the government's approach should be ideologically blind, explaining there is far-right, Islamist, Sikh, and there's Hindu nationalism. There is all different types of extremism. There is the far-left, for example. And again, this shows that she has this political bias here, because she refers to Hindu nationalism as somehow being a threat of extremism. Hindu nationalism is what is in power in India at the moment. And you wouldn't say that Narendra Modi is an extremist or a terrorist, and yet he is a Hindu nationalist. They do have a nationalist government. She's effectively saying that Hindu nationalism is a type of extremism. And just being on the far right, I wouldn't say that that was extremist to have so-called far-right views. I mean, it's just traditionalist views. It's the same views that your grandparents had, probably the same views that your parents had in the 60s or the 70s. Something is only extremist if people are seeking to use violence to gain their objectives. I don't think it is extremist to have views which you wish to put in place through government policy, which you wish to enact through normal democratic change, through lobbying government or through organizing, political organizing. How is that extremist? It's not extremist. I don't think you could say that Patriotic Alternative are extremists. They don't advocate for doing anything that is illegal. It's only once you start trying to do things in an illegal way, trying to carry out violence, that's extremism, that's terrorism. When you carry out violence against people or property with the aim of a political motive, that's what extremism is. And I guess we had David Cameron, who came out with this idea of non-violent extremism, which was basically just a euphemism for opposition against progressivism. She says, you've got to deal with all those types of problems, and only trying to focus on one at the expense of the others is totally counterproductive. Well, of course it is, but she's the one that encouraged this by going after the so-called far right and by saying that Patriotic Alternative were a part of that. Patriotic Alternative are the alternative to the extreme right wing. They don't advocate doing anything violent. They advocate doing things within the law and doing things that are going to have a positive effect on communities. It's all about positive ethnocentrism. And you could say extremism could be negative ethnocentrism, where you're treating the out-groups harshly. But what Patriotic Alternative tried to do is concentrate on positive ethnocentrism, which is treating the in-group charitably. The issues raised by Khan mirror previous failings of local officials and police encountering largely Pakistani grooming gangs in the north and midlands of England, with politically correct fears enabling child rapists to victimise thousands of women and girls. And of course, I mean, we have talked about this, nationalists have been talking about this for decades, about the cultural problems that occur when you have a culture that looks at women in a completely different way to the way that Christian culture looks at them, and the conflict that arises, which in some cases leads to what we call grooming gangs. And of course, there were court cases against the BNP for drawing attention to this, but it was all found out to be true 10 years later, and 1,400 girls in Rotherham were failed by the police, and they said that this was due to them trying to be politically correct. And we have the same thing now. As nationalists, we've been talking about the threat of Islamic terrorism, and that is the main threat in the country, not right-wing terrorism. And again, we've been told that what we're doing is Islamophobic, what we're doing is racist, and now we have the officials that have been too frightened to investigate these warnings that people have given them, when people have been saying, this guy here, this Muslim over here, he is a risk. We've heard him talking about wanting to go to Syria. We've heard him talking about wanting to have Sharia law courts in Britain. And of course, the officials then look at that and they say, oh, well, it may just be that he's got a strict interpretation of the Quran. We don't want to be seen to be Islamophobic. We'll just leave him alone. And then that particular person could then end up carrying out a terrorist act. We know that two or three of the most recent horrible terrorist acts, the terrorists themselves were actually on the Prevent list, and Prevent said, oh, well, these people are okay. They're not a threat. So what was it that caused them to be taken off the list? Could it have been because the councils concerned did not want to be seen to be having too many Muslims on their list, and they wanted to balance that out with having more white people on the list? Of course, you do get white Muslims, but predominantly they are non-white. A 2020 report from the mayor of Greater Manchester, for example, found that police officers intentionally overlooked Asian grooming gang sex crimes out of fear of appearing racist. So they intentionally did this, and it came down from the government. The government was telling them that that they had to be careful about community cohesion, and that if they were seen to be going after Muslims for this, it could cause problems between the white community and the Muslim community. And they were told that they needed to find some white grooming gangs, and they needed to concentrate on them. And we have a similar thing here, don't we? We have Neil Basu saying that the far right is the greatest terror threat, and encouraging people to go after the far right and report the far right. And it's the same thing. And because of that, we've had these terrorist acts happen, such as the recent Conservative Party politician that was murdered, the Islamic extremist that murdered him. He had been on Prevent for a while, and Prevent okayed it and said that he wasn't a risk to the public. And could that have been because they were spending all their time concentrating on going after the so-called far right? A similar report from Rotherham found that police were reluctant to crack down on grooming gangs for fear of sparking racial tensions. And again, they were told by the government that they had to be very careful about this, and they had to not be seen to be Islamophobic. And then it came down from the chief police officers, and it worked its way all the way down to the Bobby on the beat. Home Secretary Priti Patel has also accused officials in Leicester of overlooking fast fashion sweatshops using modern slavery tactics over cultural sensitivities, enabling the firms to exploit illegal migrant workers with little room for recourse. And it is effectively like we have a two-tier system. If you are a migrant or from a minority community, then it's less likely that you are going to be investigated, because the people doing the investigating will not want to be seen as being phobic in any way. And really, everybody just needs to be treated equally. And we need to be able to talk about the problems that we have in society without fear of being accused of inciting hate against the group which these problems may occur in. The reason why we talk about it is because we want to stop these problems occurring. We want to stop terrorism from happening. And terrorism harms everybody. Yet if you're not allowed to talk about it because it's seen as being Islamophobic, if you're talking about terrorism from that group, then you're not going to be able to find solutions to the problem. You're not going to be able to be targeting the resources in the right area. And again, that is what has happened here. The resources have all been targeted in the wrong area. They've been targeted against the right wing. And because of that, we now have an MP that's been murdered. And we also had the five or six white men that were murdered at the time of George Floyd, when a banner was flown saying White Lives Matter over a football match. That was in direct response to four or five people that were murdered with a knife. And the guy that did the murdering, again, he was on the Prevent list. I think even the one that was stopped with a narwhal tusk that had actually been in prison He was also on Prevent originally. And, of course, he was told that he was okay by the probation, by the organisation that were trying to rehabilitate him. And I do wonder what they're going to do to try and rehabilitate the National Action guys, the youngsters that were arrested over that for being members of National Action. How are they going to rehabilitate them? I mean, what they're going to say is, if you look at it in the same way that they look at Islam, they will look at an Islamic extremist and they will say, well, he's a Muslim. We certainly don't want him to stop being a Muslim, but we want him to understand the Western view of Islam and we want them to follow liberal Islam. So what we need to do is we need to get in what they call a moderate mullah or moderate Muslims to talk to them and explain to them the moderate interpretation of the Quran. I mean, we've even had judges saying to these Islamic extremists, you can spend your time in prison studying the Quran and learning that your interpretation of it is false. So if they were to do something similar with the extreme right wing that have been prosecuted for terrorism, what you do is you say, OK, we understand you have a nationalist ideology and we don't want you to take that nationalist ideology in a direction that leads to violence. We want you to take that nationalist ideology in a way that leads to peaceful democratic change. So we want you to get involved in organizations, nationalist organizations, that we know are going to steer you away from that direction. And of course, that's what Patriotic Alternative do. But how can they do that if they've then said that Patriotic Alternative are extreme right wing and they've run them down in the newspapers and all the rest of it? We don't have any organizations that are the equivalent of moderate Muslims. We don't have moderate nationalists, like it says here. Sarah Khan is trying to say that all Hindu nationalists are extreme right wing. It's like they're saying just to have nationalism as an ideology makes you into an extremist. And it's basically an extension of just loving your own family. It's the most natural thing in the world to love your family. It doesn't mean that you hate other people's families. It just means that you put your family first. And if you're a nationalist, it means that you put your nation first. And you understand that the word nation comes from the word natal, and it means people of a shared birth. It doesn't mean people that all share the same ID certificate. It means people that are all related by their blood, basically. It's the most natural way in the world to organize. It's how all these nations were formed in the first place. And it means that when you are measuring yourself, you're measuring yourself up against somebody who is roughly the same as you. So if they are doing better than you, then you should be able to do better yourself. If you're measuring yourself up against people from other people groups, then it's not really going to be fair on them and it's not really going to be fair on you. I mean, a good example of that would be to look at the 100-meter sprint. If you're white and you're measuring yourself up against the black 100-meter sprinters, then you haven't got a hope of beating them. And the reason why you're not going to be able to beat them is because they have faster twitch muscles. It's because they come from a different people group. They have a different biology. So you end up with, when you have multiculturalism, you just end up with discontentment all the time because people are measuring themselves up against people that are nothing like themselves. And they've been told by the mainstream narrative that everybody's exactly the same. Everybody starts out with a blank slate. And that is just not true. By the time you get to being an adult, about 80% of everything that you have is hereditary. And only about 15 to 20% comes from your surroundings. You know, the nature-nurture debate, I mean, it's been proved time and time again that it's nature that is more important than nurture. But getting back to this, it's good to see that Sarah Khan is pointing out that political correctness has been responsible for Islamic extremists slipping the net. It's just a shame that she was part of the reason for that anyway, and I don't think she realizes that. But when she promotes the idea that right-wing extremism is the fastest growing threat, then of course, since she is the official government advisor, that means that these organizations that are supposed to be working on that Islamic threat or working on that extremist threat, rather, they're going to be concentrating their resources on the right wing and not concentrating on the Islamic extremists. So it's good to see that she is speaking about it. I would like to see PA try to reach out to her, in actual fact. I would really like to see Mark Collette or Laura Towler reach out to this Sarah Khan and say, look, what is it that you don't like about us? Because whatever it is you've read in the newspapers, that does not reflect who we really are. And I think Mark Collette may well be going on a show soon with a representative of the Islamic community, which should be good because we are not against these other communities. We want to work with other communities that wish to do their best for their people. And that's all nationalism is. It's just wanting to do your best for your people. It doesn't mean you are against any other people. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.